All right, guys, before we get started, don't fast forward. Before we get started, I want to make sure you know that longtime sponsor of the show, SavageClassical.com, S-A-V-A-G-E, Classical.com, is having a sale. Right now you can get 10% off all $3,000 or more guitars, all right? And most of you out there are spending at least that. So 10% off $3,000, that's a lot of money. By my calculation, that's $300. Okay, and that's the minimum you can save. So say you're getting something for, let's say, $10,000. Then that's whatever that is. So you've got, here's an example that I've been given. All right, it's good through November 30th, so you got to do this now. If you're thinking about buying a guitar, now's the time. Go to SavageClassical.com. Talk to Richard Sage or Chris Gotzenberg, friend of the show. You can call him on his cell. He's 516-662-4268, and he will give you the best deal he can. All right, or you can call Richard at 631-335-5447 or visit SavageClassical.com. All right? And an example is, how about the Herman Hauser 3, originally listed at $35,000. Now, it's only $29,995. That's a saving of about $5,000. Okay? Wait. What does this say? No. Okay. Listen to this. It gets even better. Herman Hauser 3, originally listed at $35,000, is on sale for $29,995, so $30,000. Now it can be purchased for $27,000. So you're saving about $8,000 at this point off the list price of guitars right now if you're a big-time buyer like that at SavageClassical.com. All right, so if you're a guitar collector or you're looking to enter some competitions or something, this is it. SavageClassical.com. Make sure and tell them Big Diaper Brett sent you. On with the show. Welcome back to Classical Guitar Insider. This is your host, Brett Williams, and today on the show we have Ekashai Jenaku. All right, he is the winner of the Guitar Foundation of America's competition, international competition, 2014. And he did not know what he was getting into when he came to this home. I've had two people in here. Yuri Liberzon from San Francisco and this guy. They just had no idea what it was. They came up. Both were actually, it's kind of funny because these were two interviews that happened in 1 week. And both came over a half an hour early. Which, you know, I understand. It's not their fault. They don't understand it. But, you know, I have to set up and stuff like that. And Ekashai, I let in because his mother was outside too, so you know I didn't want them wandering around. Also, they're not from here, you know. And I knew that Yuri had spent at least some time in the United States, but these guys were on a world tour and they were in Brooklyn, and I could imagine that that could be a little scary. So I went ahead and let them in and kind of set up with them here, but I hadn't really gotten milk for the coffee or anything. And I certainly hadn't done any of my little cursory research that I like to do, just so I know a little bit about what's going on. To be completely honest with you, I had even forgotten that he was a GFA winner when I started the conversation. All right. As far as like being in the loop, I mean, I don't know. This is me being in the loop. This is as far as it goes. I know what I know based on who I talk to, but it blows me away at how little I know. If I hang around and I'm talking to, you know, friends of mine, other guitarists like Rupert or Thomas, when I talk to those people at a concert and stuff like that, they know so much more than I do about who's who and about what's what and about what guitars sound like what. It's amazing how I have never been able to really catch up with the knowledge of my peers as far as just sort of the scene is concerned. And I think a lot of it is I just don't go to enough concerts. But I am done going to concerts for a while. I had tickets to the Ekashai show, and I should have gone, but unfortunately I was coming in a little bit from out of town, and by the time I got back I was just too tired to want to go see another solo concert. No offense to anybody. Solo concerts are great. Ekashai, obviously, is the guitarist right now, the guy, who, the big winner. Outstanding interview, too. Really, really sweet guy, and I really feel bad that I couldn't make it. But I think I'm taking a little break from the solo concerts in particular. I have no problem going to a concert, but just, you know, it's just a matter of just right now where I'm at in my life. I just don't feel like just watching, you know, somebody just, you know, perform rep that I've heard performed 1,000 times. That is not an offense. Sometimes I'm into it. I go through years where I'm really into it and where I kind of get back into it and I get inspired. Like I said, with the Pablo Sáenz Villegas concert, that was something that like was really fun for me. And I'm sure that if I would have, you know, given Ekashai the chance, that I would have really enjoyed that too. But I just, you know, with the breakup and everything and the moving around and a lot of the stress that's associated with that. And I'm just tired. You know, I'm going out a lot. I'm meeting a lot of friends out. People, you know, have really been there for me through all this. So, you know, that sort of translates into a lot of, you know, obligatory hanging out. And I've been going out a little bit by myself, just, you know, just because I'm, you know, I'm a little salt, lonely single guy now, you know, so I might end up, you know, going out and sitting around creepily at a bar, trying to read the New York Times on my phone or something like that. All right, I'm not going to take a tour of El Capitan MacBook Pro. Not right now. Let me turn the stupid thing off. Turn the Wi-Fi off. All right, so that's what you got to do, people. You turn the Wi-Fi off, and then you don't get any of these messages. You know. Anyway, so yeah, it's been. I mean, I really appreciate the friends that have done that. It's just been sort of expensive too. I mean, I'm going out a lot. I'm going out almost every night, and you know that adds up. So I really got to take it down. But financially, I'm starting to catch up after a very difficult summer. And that feels good. I'm in the apartment. Old Wendy left the apartment. This has been going on for about 3 weeks off and on, but now she's been gone for about 5 days straight. And she's not coming back for like another 5 days. And I've sort of had the whole apartment to myself, which has been, it's very nice of her. And it's been very sweet. She is staying at a friend's house in Queens. The friend is out of town, out of the country. So she's got this really nice luxury apartment with a gym in it. And she's, you know, well taken care of. And it's right next to the NQ trains there. I guess you would call it the little yellow line. And, you know, we're both just hanging in there, trying to make the best decision we can about our future. God bless her. It's just, you know, we're both, you know, sort of trying to make the right decision. And that's where that's at. You know, a lot of it, for me has been, as I said before, there's a lot of financial, considerations that are occurring right now that I'm grateful that I'm being pushed into acknowledging, having to seriously acknowledge a financial future, I think I was talking with a friend the other night and he had said that basically signing up for guitar, unless you are a major competition winner, is sort of like taking a vow of poverty. And, you know, that's something that I've decided I'm unwilling to do. So I have been actively looking for employment. I have not found anything. Even the bar. I thought I had this bartending gig, and it turns out they only had Mondays and Tuesdays available. And those are the nights that I teach. I teach Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, and I teach all the way till like 9 o'clock at night. So it's, I'm not going to, you know, give up that for a bartending gig. I mean, no offense, but the bartending gig on a Monday or a Tuesday is going to suck. Maybe, maybe not. There's actually something called industry night, which is Sunday and Monday nights. And those are the nights when all the people that work at the bars and the restaurants go out. And it's kind of a fun little scene. It's kind of neat. I experienced a little bit of it like yesterday when I was out with my friend Mike. We were sort of bumming around and, you know, you could just see like all the kind of like, all these like, you know, pretty people that probably, you know, they kind of dress like rock stars because they just, you know, because they work in restaurants, they don't, you know. So they were out and about, and that was sort of a neat thing to see. I don't know. I hope I get into it. There was this one bar that I'm talking about was in Park Slope, and it was super cool. And it was like a real cocktail bar, I basically would have been like a you know, like a, it was small and contained, and the food was amazing, and the people there were just great. So I pretty much had that job, but then they kind of said like, look, we really need you to work on Mondays and Tuesdays. And I said, I can't do it. Those are any other day is fine. But you know, I really don't want to quit my lucrative teaching days, you know, to do something that, you know, that is not my life's goal. But it turns out, man, bartending here is really hard to break into as well. Basically, you can't do anything without experience. And it's you know, I love how we always say like, well, you know, just imagine working in an office and how stupid that would be. It's like, dude, no one's asking you to work in the office. When it comes down to it, you can't get the job in the office. It's not that you don't want them. It's that they don't want you. Sorry to break it to you. But this isn't necessarily our decision anymore. After a certain point, it's too late. And, you know, you cannot just get a job in advertising. You can't, actually. Maybe you can. But, you know, I don't know. So anyway, that's what's going on. You guys also should go to audibletrial.com/insider. audibletrial.com/insider. And you get a free audiobook download of your choice on me, Brett, at Classical Guitar Insider. That's audibletrial.com/insider for a free audiobook download of your choice and a 30-day free trial. All right. Listeners of the show might enjoy, let's see here. Let's see what they got. You guys have heard people do this 1,000 times, so I feel a little, ooh, I got to apply for this job. I'm not even going to tell you guys what job. There's something through Libsyn right now. I got to, what's it called? Not Libsyn. That's the podcast host site. What is this site? I don't even know anymore. Is this LinkedIn? LinkedIn. That's irritating. You know what I really hate about all these sites is that you have to basically enter your resume in all these stupid sites. LinkedIn's one thing, but once they start using other, like, you know, Monster and stuff like that, you got to enter that. And then Monster has a lot of the jobs that they have on monster.com are jobs that require you to fill out it, you know, and basically you're having to create resumes all day, every day. That's what getting a job is. They don't want you just to submit a resume because that's supposedly a pain in the ass. It's just like presenters and stuff like that, you know, always complaining about how hard their lives are because they have to do their job. Whatever. Anyway, let's keep going. What am I doing? What am I looking up? Oh, I'm looking up Audible. Yeah, let's go to Audible. audibletrial.com/insider. Oh, I'm not connected to the internet. So the first thing I'm going to do is connect to the internet. That's, if you want to do this the right way, you have to connect to the internet. That's step one. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Sorry about this, guys. There we go. Look at this. Get my free audiobook download. All right, let's see. So I'm going to go there. I don't know. They're telling me something about Amazon. Audible's an Amazon company. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Yep. Now, let me just see what you got. Let me just see what you got. Let me see the library here. Let me see the Audible without, you know... Let me see what books they got. Let me see breakups. Breakups. Let's see if they got any good books on getting past your breakup. How to turn a devastating loss into the best thing that ever happened to you. Let's take a look at that. It's over, and it really hurts. But as unbelievable as it may seem, when you are in the throes of heartache, you can move past your breakup. Forget about trying to win your ex back. Forget about losing yourself and trying to make this person love you. Forget it. Starting today, this breakup is the best time to change your life for the better, inside and out. Getting past your breakup is proven roadmap for overcoming the painful end of any romantic relationship, even divorce, by Susan J. Elliott. Let's play an audio example.
It's hard, but it happens. And it hurts.
I'm letting you guys listen to
this. You love someone who may have loved you once upon a time, or who acted like there was a possibility of love in return, but now there's not. Or who simply doesn't feel the same way and isn't going to feel the same way. Maybe your ex seemed to love you deeply too, and then he or she just switched off and hurt you in ways that were unimaginable at the height of your mutual love.
I get it. All right, guys. So if you want to get books like that, you can go to audibletrial.com/insider for a free audiobook download. Hey, get Getting Past Your Breakup by Susan J. Elliott. All right, what's this one? Oh, there's one here with like an ice cream. It's called Break Up Because It's Broken. The Smart Girl's Breakup Buddy. And it's got an ice cream because that's what girls do. They eat ice cream when they break up. Not my girl. Old Wendy's a strong one. She's at the gym taking care of herself. She's not going to sit there and eat ice cream. I might eat some ice cream. If I can just stop drinking beer. In other news, my foot's feeling better. So that's good. Look at this. They've got everything I've ever read. That's so scary. The Grace of Kings by King Leo. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about doubt. Such a waste of time. I am so sorry for wasting hours, days of your time so far, but I hope you guys are doing good. Go to audibletrial.com/insider for a free audiobook download of your choice, and do not forget that there is a 10% off sale right now at savageclassical.com. Go there. I'm about to have to renew my contract with them for the year, so let's, if you're thinking about buying a guitar, get over there, support the show, make sure you tell them Brett sent you. All right, so now let's from Thailand, here is Ekashai Jericho.
Because I started to play the guitar when I was 13, you know.
Right.
It's pretty good age, but if you compare with the other classical musician, maybe they started younger than me, you know, like 3 or 5 years old. But I started like 13.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, that's like me. That's a lot of Americans basically start at that age or even later.
Right.
But so you started when you were 13. So how do you pronounce your name?
In Thai, I pronounce Ekashai Jeragun.
Ekashai Jeragun.
Jeragun, yes.
Jeragun.
Yes, right.
Ekashai.
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 Yeah, it's more Ekashai. More Ekashai. Rhythmic and more, you know,
Ekashai.
Yeah.
Ekashai. Oh, there's like a roll at the
right.
End.
Right, Ekashai.
That's like that lilt.
Yeah.
That you guys have over there.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Ekashai.
Jeragun, yeah.
It's almost got like a sort of like an Indian...
Well,
sort of influence.
Yeah, influences.
It's like Chinese and Indian combined a little bit.
I think Chinese not, but the Indian pretty close.
You feel it?
Yeah, like the famous conductor Subin Mehta.
Right.
Yeah, we also have Mehta, Subin.
Yeah, that beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Subin can be also a Thai name as well, you know.
So
it's pretty close to Indian.
See, and people don't, at least I don't. I don't think like most like Westerners associate or think about Thai as being, you know, anything other than just blocked with Asians, with Chinese or with even, you know, but, Koreans or whatever.
Yeah. But the language is pretty individual, you know, it's just alone. You cannot understand Thai language in the other country.
You can't understand it in India.
No.
It's got, but it is, it does have that sort of, the like
right,
you said,
yeah.
Mehta.
Yeah.
And then Ekashai.
Yeah.
Ekashai. Is it E at the end?
C-H-A-I. Shy. What do you mean?
No, I'm just sorry. It's me. It's just me not knowing what I'm doing.
Okay.
But I'm trying my best.
Right.
But as far as the guitar, you said you started playing it when you were 13.
Mm-hmm.
And just so the listeners know, like you, like there is like a slight, like this is like a slight language issue, mm-hmm. but you seem to be hanging in there pretty well. You're doing a good job.
With the guitar, whatever.
With the English and stuff.
Oh, like, really?
We're doing good.
Okay.
We're doing good. It's not
so far, so good.
So far, so good. But as far as the, you know, going back to the guitar, you started when you were 13.
Yes.
And what city was that in, actually?
I was born in Ubon Ratchathani.
It's called Ubon Ratchathani?
Ubon Ratchathani, yes. It's one of the provinces in Thailand.
Uh-huh.
It's not the capital city.
Yeah.
I was very It was a very little, small city.
Really?
Yeah,
in China. You guys seem pretty cosmopolitan. You know, like city.
Really?
City people. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
My mom's pretty good style and stuff.
Because
like
we've been traveling to Bangkok a lot, because my mom used to work from my country to mm-hmm. Bangkok, so we're traveling almost every week to the Bangkok.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and your mom is here. People
yeah,
should know.
Yeah,
your mom's
my mom
with
is
you.
Here. Yeah.
Does your mom go everywhere with you?
Not really a lot.
But this is like a special trip to New
yeah,
York.
Yeah, yeah, to New York, to Carnegie. So
do you like New York?
Chop New York, man.
Yeah. Oh, she's.
Yeah, she's so. Because you know, our yeah. country. So. Yeah, it's pretty not busy, not uh-huh. you know, crowded.
Like you said, you're from a province.
Yeah, so we live in countryside, so it's pretty farm. And surround with the tree and forest, but not so much the building.
Yeah, very unique, the countryside thing to classical guitar, especially with people from other countries that I've interviewed. So far, I really haven't interviewed people. You know, most of the people come from the capital cities.
Mm-hmm.
So to interview somebody from a province or something like that is pretty unique.
Yep.
And I mean, how, because you're a great player, you're a world class, like you said, you're an international artist, mm-hmm. we would call you. And that seems very unique that an international artist would come from, you know, such a humble place or a place that, you know, I mean, who was teaching out there? Was there a good teacher? Did you have a good teacher, or did you kind of have to pick it up yourself when you were 13?
I would say that my teacher is pretty good, but not very good player. He know how to teach.
Yeah.
But honestly, I was like learning from the CD a lot. I was listening a lot from John Williams, from the master player.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I learned from the sound of their playing.
So your teacher was just like, he kind of probably taught everything rock,
right.
finger style.
Well, he can teach also classical, but not really how to control the nail or how to find the nail, you know.
Did he have nails?
He have nails, but he doesn't know how to. I mean, because on that time, we don't have really good player.
That's what I would
right.
imagine.
Thailand,
that's why most people come
yeah.
from, yeah.
So they just, you know, teaching for the beginner, from teaching the kid how to read the music, so uh-huh. how to play the basic thing and classical thing.
Right.
But it's quite impossible to teach the concerto de Ranquest or a very big piece.
Right.
Yeah. So at that time, I learned a lot from John Williams, from Julian Bream. Yeah.
Just listening.
Yeah, just listening from him. So I get inspiration, the sound of the guitar from the player.
Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
And the fact, I mean, so you were listening intently.
Yep.
And did you learn anything by ear, or was everything written? I mean, like, did you like listen and then pause and then... Try to play?
Sometimes, yeah, like that.
Really?
Yeah. When I played the tremolos, I didn't know how to play a tremolo at all.
And you didn't know what it looked like on the page?
No, never. Because in the beginning, I don't read the music.
So when you're 13 and you start playing,
yep.
and you're listening to John Williams,
mm-hmm.
you're learning like, you know, Calibri or something off of that America's album.
Yeah.
I don't know, and you're learning that, but you're doing it by ear.
Yeah. Actually, my real inspiration to playing guitar was from the King of Thailand.
Really?
Yeah, the king of Thailand. He's a composer and a musician. He composed many music for singer, and he also had the chord. But when I heard the arrangement for guitar,
yeah,
and it just make my mind boom, you know. Because I mean, I know his piece from I used to play trumpet.
Uh-huh.
I was a trumpet player.
Like in school when they
yeah,
make
school,
you play
yeah.
instruments,
and
yeah.
also play the king music in trumpet. But when I heard from arrangement from the king and classical guitar,
yeah.
I just decided I want to be a classical guitarist because on the king of music.
Right. So the king. So in school.
Yep.
Were you forced to play music by the king of Thailand?
No, not
like
not
the trumpet?
No.
Oh, was
no,
it
not
just,
really.
It's because, just interesting. It's
yeah,
interesting that the king.
Because I think the king music is very, very has an influence and also.
And you like the
food.
King's
yeah,
music.
Yeah, yeah. We always loved king music.
I had to listen to him.
Yeah.
What's his name?
King Phumipon.
Phumipon.
Right. I play his a lot of music during my tour also. Maybe in Carnegie Hall, we give some encore from his music as well.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so that's and that what's the capital of Thailand? Is it what is the capital of Thailand?
Bangkok.
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 Okay. So yeah, oh so it is super Indian then. I feel like yeah, I'm completely confused. But as far as the king composing music, that's really unique, and especially for him to be good at it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that must be. Is there a tradition in that family of musicians?
I think he learned many things, you know, music and sport, a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his music is pretty jazz influenced and also pop. It's not really classical.
Oh, it's not?
It's not classical music.
Oh,
I can
okay.
say it's like jazz and pop music. you know.
But his music is also, it's written out though. He's a composer.
Right.
He knows how to write music.
Yeah, he knows how to write music. But when I heard the arrangement of the guitar, but not from him, from mm-hmm. the other guitar player, he mm-hmm. did an arrangement from his music. So that's why I want to learn that piece in the guitar.
Right.
So I started to play the guitar at that point.
Oh, that's beautiful. So does he know how to write for the guitar?
I don't think
Yeah, it's probably some arrangement of a melody and
yeah,
a harmony.
Yeah, the melody and harmony, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Right.
And so, I mean, yeah, because he's probably got like a... That's a beautiful story. And you... So, I mean, his music, like it's pop music, is it folky?
No.
You know what I mean? Like kind of like, you know, like traditional...
Not really traditional.
So it's more like almost like, I would imagine, like Korean pop or something.
For me, it's like the jazz and blue style.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just straight up,
R&B.
Pretty national, international
right.
thing, you know.
I forgot to tell you, this is like, it's picking up a little bit in the mic.
Okay.
It's my fault. I forgot to tell you. So, 100% my fault.
That's fine.
Okay. But anyway, have you ever met the king?
No, never.
Why not, man? You're an international guitarist.
It's quite difficult. You're playing his piece.
You can do it.
Yeah, he's pretty on. I used to play for his daughter and his family,
mm-hmm.
but I said it's quite difficult to meet the king.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's very difficult.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Is it like England where they have to like,
right.
you have to like, you're not allowed to, there's like,
right.
you make an appearance.
Right.
He says three words to you and you move along, right?
Right, some kind of that thing.
Okay, yeah. So it's not like, yeah, but you can meet the daughter.
Yeah.
How was that? The princess?
Yeah, the princess. Yeah. She's beautiful.
She is?
Yeah. It's not that easy to you know, it has to be a very special occasion or special
right.
event that I play for her and someone has to reorganize
yeah.
the concert or something kind of the thing. Yeah.
But it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did she talk to you?
Oh, yeah, a few words.
What did she say?
Just nice playing.
She's like, nice playing.
And you're like, congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Thanks a lot. Goodbye. I got to go. You have to be, yeah, exactly. You think you're going to be like, well, of course.
No, you cannot.
No, are you allowed to look?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah, of course.
Are you allowed to look up? Because I think I don't know
anything. Yeah.
First of all, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is what makes these interviews so much fun. But as far as the guitar playing in the province, your teacher just basically was just a basic overall, like I had one of those mm-hmm. at home. There wasn't, because I'm from sort of I'm from a smaller place too. Mm-hmm. I'm not from a large metropolitan area.
Yeah.
So I had a similar upbringing where it was sort of like I started out with like tab books. Mm-hmm. Like my college auditions were basic. My first freshman college auditions were like half tab arrangements of like Rondo a la Turk,
uh-huh.
you know? And so, I mean, I can have an understanding of that, but you picked it up pretty quickly. You're talking about 13.
Right.
And then, how many hours a day did you practice when you were at that age?
From the beginning, I mean, mm-hmm. I not really practiced a lot because mm-hmm. I feel that I really don't want to practice. Why I have to practice. Mm-hmm. I just play because I want to play.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I feel more fun. So
I don't even remember that. I don't remember being a child and getting good, but it happened.
Yeah, it happened. I mean,
yeah.
Because I love to play classical. From the beginning, I just play for fun. And then I'm thinking in the future how I can survive with the thing that I love.
Right.
So it's only way is I have to be good. And then I did, after maybe 15, I decided to go to the capital city in Thailand to learn specially in classical guitar.
Uh-huh.
You know, from 13 until 15, I'm still living in my province, the small city.
So 15, you go to Bangkok.
Yeah, I moved to Bangkok because I think it's a lot of more opportunity.
And how is that?
Well,
is it shocking?
Yeah, it's pretty big change for my life, you know.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, I lived with my family, with mm-hmm. my mom, with my dad. And then, but 15, I have to move alone into a big city. And
right.
then to study something which is dangerous for me at that point. Because you never know that if you graduate with the music in Thailand, what can you do for the job? How
right.
can you living? How can you fight? I mean,
same here.
Yeah, I think it's the same.
I'm having the same struggle. I'm actually, I'm actually moving on a little bit at this uh-huh. point. I think I'm looking at other job options.
Yeah,
just because it's. I mean, you know, it's. I never really got to the international. You know, like where you are, but it's like to find a job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really have to either get there or move on.
It's really the same thing in Thailand.
Yeah.
To being a special in classical musician,
Yeah. Now, how did she react? How did your family react when you moved to Bangkok?
They doesn't want me to study at all.
No.
We really have the big agreement about moving me to the Bangkok, you know. They doesn't want me to study music and then do the thing that I want to do.
Right.
Because it's insecure for them.
Yeah, insecure, yeah. Because they're depending on you too, probably, yeah, a little bit, right? Yeah. But you surprised them.
Yeah, I surprised them because I said, okay, yeah, I told them that, okay, I will prove to them that in a few years, they don't have to pay any education fee for me because I will get the scholarship. Mm-hmm. I will get the first prize from competition and I can earn some money from teaching as well.
And you did that, when was your first competition?
I think 17, I think, in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 17, 18, I won, I think, the most important in competition in Thailand.
And what's that called?
It's called Thailand International Guitar Competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's organized by Thailand Guitar Society.
And that was beautiful. That changed their mind.
Yeah, right.
That made them
understand. During study, I also teaching and I earned some money so I can pay for my apartment and other stuff. So I worked pretty hard on when I study.
Now, when you studied and you teached, so you taught guitar.
Right, in a private school.
Now, you're talking about 15. So at that point, is that when you guys over there start college?
Yeah, right. The pre-college.
The pre-college.
Yeah, for 3 years. And then I continue my university.
Right.
So I spent 3 years for pre-college in Bangkok.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. On that time, I proved a lot myself. I teaching, but not at the school, just my private student. Every Sunday or every weekend, I'm teaching. And also at the school, I don't have to pay because I get very good grade and I got scholarship, full scholarship. So my family doesn't have to pay anything.
Well, that was important.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was important because the debt is a real issue.
Yeah.
But in Thailand, I mean, so the government doesn't necessarily pay for school?
It's not from the government, actually. I think it's half government and half private organized. Right. Yeah. So right. the fee is pretty high. I remember I paid for a semester, it's about almost $100,000, maybe $1,000.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Per semester.
Okay.
Just for the education fee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's not so bad.
Well, but in Thailand, it's pretty a lot.
Oh, $1,000?
Yeah. $1,000 per semester.
Okay.
Yeah. That's really a lot for that pre-college thing.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. A lot of money.
Right. Yeah. Oh, so it doesn't translate into $1,000.
I think you cannot compare because in Thailand, it's pretty different.
Right.
1,000 is a lot.
Now, when you're so that's 15, you're doing pre-college, mm-hmm. and then you go, so at that point, you're studying with a real
real professional, yeah.
Guy who knows how to do his nails.
Right. Now, the guy knows how to do his nails, exactly.
And what was his assessment of you? You know, what did he think about you coming in there? Did you tell him that you had learned your pieces by ear rather than?
I think he knows because when he, yeah.
You were like, I don't know what that is.
Right. Yeah. And he showed me many pieces from a very basic composer like Augustin Barrios.
And you were like, I don't know who that is.
I don't know. Sor? Fernando Sor? I don't know who that guy was.
You didn't even know Fernando Sor? No. So you just knew John Williams' CD?
Yeah, I just know John Williams and Astrid, the famous piece. Right. And the tremolo thing, I mean, I just play PIMA. Normally the tremolo should be PAMI, right?
Yeah, right.
Because I didn't know how to play a tremolo, so that's why I'm thinking, okay, the fingering started with the thumb and should continue with the other finger.
Oh, why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, it looks very simple. Okay, so let's play that way.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
So if you're having hand problems, I think that would be kind of a good idea.
Yeah.
PA. Do you still play PIMA?
Yeah. I keep playing.
Do?
Yeah, my tremolo is PIMA.
That's going to help you with PIMA too.
Yeah.
Going up and down.
Yeah.
Because now you've got that.
Right.
Whereas like most, I think at least me, like I can kind of do one.
Yeah.
And then the other is like a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit of like an individual.
Right.
Finger.
So that's some example that I'm learning from myself. from my first teacher that didn't tell me how to play a tremolo.
I mean, that is amazing that you can get, you know, to that point by yourself with those first 2 years.
I think I learned, as I say, I learned a lot from listening, from good recording.
When you see other players that, you know, have been playing since they were five, do you see a significant difference between your technique and theirs?
Oh, yes. When I was moving to Bangkok when I was 15, I saw many big different player from the other country that come together in Bangkok, and then they just surprised me. They can play a big piece, which I didn't know even the composer name. Right. They can play something which I didn't know, like Apuyando.
Yeah.
Talking about the rest. What is the rest of it? I don't know. How I didn't know how to call it in guitar, like the sprout, a cedar. I have no knowledge at all.
Right.
So I see pretty different from you know, the other teacher and my teacher that time.
Yeah. So the teacher beat you. Maybe the only difference of, I mean, I guess 13 to 15, yeah, that's not huge. But by 15, you had a real guitar teacher.
Yeah, right. So that it make myself to working harder than the other player.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, I keep practicing harder than the other. So in order that I can be in the same level.
Right.
So that's my strategy.
Now, how did you know at age 15... Why? I mean, you made that decision already. You were like, "I'm going to do this for a living," because that was, I mean, that was your parents were saying they were like, they were saying like no, and you just said yes. And I mean, do you think that them saying no made you make that decision and made you fight that much harder for it?
Sometimes, yeah, they push me. You know,
because most of us aren't told to make a decision until we're 18.
Yeah,
you know, they're just like, "Oh, we'll just get good grades, do whatever you want in the meantime." But, you know, like you were in a position where it seems like at that age over there, you have to decide a lot earlier, like three years, 4 years earlier,
because I think,
what you're going to do with your life.
Yeah, I think to know my life earlier is much more good for me. I can prepare myself sooner.
Right. And the education over there, is it more, well, we call it vocational. And what it means is that it's specialized education. So like... most people like me go, you know, I went to a regular college. I learned everything. I learned about World War II. I learned about, you know, math. But over there, is it more specialized? So if you go to music school, it's just music?
Yes, it's quite specialized, but also we have to learn some subject that needs for a musician.
Like, but what about other subjects? What about history, math, science?
Yeah, mathematics, science, but not much, you know.
Right.
Just enough to know.
Right.
How to calculate the thing, you know, but not really deep inside, but basic thing.
And were you okay with not really?
Yeah, I'm okay. Because I don't want to know everything.
I know.
I want to know just how can I be the good musician and which subject is important for my career.
Yeah, I have a student that's struggling with that right now because we really only have one school like that in this entire country.
Really?
The preparatory division, we call it, or what did you call it? At age 15, you go to the pre-college.
Pre-college, yeah.
So we, you know, prep division, pre-college. There's prep divisions, but there's not anything other than one that makes it where you have grades, you know, where you get a grade, a letter grade for your progress. And so I have a student that went to that, and then she transferred to a regular school, and she's like, well, I want to play guitar, and I can't play guitar at this regular school because I'm doing too much. You know, science homework, math homework. And she is. I mean, she's got 3 hours of homework a night for those subjects.
Right.
Which she just is, even at this age, pretty convinced that she's not going to use. And it's just interesting that you guys have that ability over there to make that decision. And then over here, we're very limited with that decision. We're forced to sort of learn all these things, which, you know, we know we're never going to use. You know?
I think my school is pretty good to have very unique way to study, but also it's risky for someone that they maybe after they graduate pre-college, they want to do the other thing.
A lot of risk,
So then they feel lost because, you know, some subject that they've been studying in the school cannot use for the other university. Make also the other...
Well, there's also the issue of, like, are you good enough?
Right.
And that's what makes it... That's, you know... Over here, it seems like the culture is that everybody's supposed to be good enough. Everybody's supposed to be a good guitarist. There's no, you know, you're not really allowed. Like, I get in trouble at my job when I have a student and I complain about them or I say they aren't doing the work. Generally, I get in trouble, you know, for bringing that up. So, you know, it seems like the idea over here, I don't know, is that that's not the way it is over there? Is it a lot more competitive?
Yeah. Also... But most of my friends there have also their own business at home and family, you know. So if they not want to do a musician, they can do the family business.
Okay, so it's something to fall back on.
Right. But for my family, I cannot do that. I just have to do my way only. So that keep myself working really hard and very focused, because I don't have the second choice at all.
What does your dad do?
Well, they have their own business, of course, but
but it's just not a very big business,
right? And then also, our family is not that rich, you know.
Yeah,
all money that they earn from their business comes to me from my guitar also.
Oh, wow.
So from the beginning, they pay a lot from the beginning. So right. I want them to make disappoint. So
right, yeah. You're doing it.
Yes,
you feel weight.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that way it make me. Push me a lot, you know.
Yeah,
I feel more better that my family is wealthy and then have everything, and then myself maybe a little bit lazy.
Right.
Yeah,
that would be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you'd be like, well, you know, I don't really need.
Yeah.
It's just about me, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That desperation can really force you to succeed.
Yeah, it forced me to become good.
Right.
Player.
And so, you know, what kind of guitar do you play?
I have many guitar from the beginning. I was playing very cheap guitar. I remember the first guitar was Yamaha.
Yamaha.
Uh-huh. And then I developed, like, when I won the prize, I get more money to buy the other guitar.
Uh-huh.
Then I come. My really first concert guitar was Smallman, a great Smallman.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a very expensive one.
So that was what they helped you out.
Yeah.
With.
Right.
Yeah.
Really, it bring me. To international level to playing in competition, but I was playing Smallman for a couple of years, and then I feel very tired with that guitar.
Now, what made you tired about that guitar?
It's pretty loud guitar, but I just missing some kind of the traditional sound.
So
I'm looking for something more traditional but more louder.
Right.
So I go to the double top guitar. So I was switched to Wagner, Gernot Wagner from German luthier.
The
Wagner, Gernot Wagner.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
It's pretty top. German maker.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, at the moment I was playing Damen.
Damen.
Yeah,
that's what
Damen.
You're playing now.
Yeah.
So you did the Wagner guitar. Do you like the German guitars?
Yeah, at the moment. I think it's pretty, the one that I want to play with the warm sound, have the traditional sound, but also have very big volume.
What, you play spruce or cedar?
A cedar.
So it's cedar.
A cedar, yes.
And where does that cedar come from?
I think...
Because I know all the spruce is like alpine spruce.
Yeah, but I'm not sure where this cedar came from.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's dominant. It's pretty good. That's a good guitar.
Yeah, pretty good guitar. But I also have the new guitar from Francisco Simplicio. Yeah, the pretty old one, 1931.
Oh, wow.
I just bought the new one a couple of weeks ago in Philadelphia.
Yeah? Which one? Oh, Philadelphia, the guitar store.
Yeah, I was playing there and in a pretty small shop.
It's a great store.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got good guitars. Which one did you get?
Simplicio.
Oh, okay.
Francisco Simplicio. It's pretty old. It's pretty, cracked condition. It needs some repair, but it's pretty beautiful.
What's beautiful about it? That's an interesting to get a guitar from the 30s.
Yeah. I mean, it's not loud as my Damen, but it has some kind of different character, you know?
Yeah.
Just have something different from my Damen. So.
Well, not every concert is in Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I mean, a lot of concerts are in smaller.
Yeah.
Even for you. I mean, even, you know, you're going to be in a, you know, Italy or something. Those concerts are never giant, right?
Right.
I mean, because there's concerts everywhere.
Yeah.
And then as far as, you know, going to college, you know, do you continue in college in the same university?
Yeah. After I graduated my pre-college, I continued the same university, which is the same area. I mean,
so, what is that place called?
Mahidol, Mahidol University, College of Music, Mahidol University.
Just College of Music.
Yeah.
And it's a state college of music.
Yeah, right. But we also have the bachelor, master, and doctoral program in our college.
And you did, how far did you get?
Only bachelor.
Okay.
Yeah, but after that, I got scholarship study in Austria. In Mozarteum, Salzburg.
Okay, so you went to Salzburg.
Yeah.
Who's there?
Marco Tamayo.
Okay,
from
sure.
Cuba. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's also the big step in my life, you know. So I learned a lot.
Because now you're in Europe.
Yeah, now I'm in Europe. So I saw a lot of players. My friend was a very big player. And then I'm surrounded with a big musician. Now it's really keep me also the other step to practicing.
Yeah, when you're with people and they're always doing international competitions.
Right. Yeah.
And what was your first, after Thailand, I forget what competitions you won.
Thailand International Guitar Competition.
Yeah, you did that. Yeah. And then what else?
And after that, I feel very enough for Bangkok. Mm-hmm. So now Thailand is not enough for me at all.
Yeah.
So now I want to open my world. By traveling in the other country, because I think to be a classical musician, you have to show yourself to your world. No mm-hmm. one will come to get you from Thailand.
Right.
So I have to go out. So I think my first really trip was in Singapore. It's pretty close to Thailand.
Yeah.
Singapore. They have a very big festival there, and big player Manuel Barreco playing there, mm-hmm. and Judy Kelperoy was mm-hmm. playing there.
Yep.
So I was listening concert first, not a competition, just for listening in the festival.
Right.
Yep.
And who were your favorite guitarists at that point?
Still John Williams. I never heard him play.
Right.
But
I never heard him play either. And I'm old. I'm 10 years older than you, but I never heard him play either.
From the recording, yeah, Sean Williams was my favorite.
I think he's going to come back and play. He's going to play something.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to be like $250 a ticket and we'll just have to pay it. So as far as that, and then so it was the same teacher too at that point?
Yeah, the same teacher. Mm-hmm. He was teaching me from the college until the university.
Tell me about Tomeo. What did you learn from him?
Well, a lot. I mean, from the technique, from his teaching style.
Right.
I get a lot of influences from him. Mm. I didn't get the lesson a lot from him, you know, because he came to teach maybe a couple of times in a month or 2 months in to a tram, I mean, because he was traveling a lot, playing concert.
Right.
So, but every lesson is very intense, you know.
Yeah.
He tried to give you everything that you need only in 1 hour, but you have to work for a couple of weeks.
So his lessons, do they happen on a weekly basis?
Not really.
Oh, so
it really depends on his schedule. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he will send out the email just like 3 days before he comes to teach to be same, ready. Like, yeah.
Be
ready. Like that's, because that time that your lesson will be, so everyone have to be ready.
Yeah.
And every lesson, like you play in concert, it will be like 20 people looking for you in a class, a very big class. It's the master class.
Oh, so it's not a one-on-one in a little room?
No, it's a big room.
How interesting.
Yeah. So every time you play, you get the audience. And you have, you know, some kind of nervous.
Yeah.
And also I learned a lot from my friend also. He was playing and I was sitting in an observer. So I can learn a lot of things.
Yeah. Who was your best buddy back then? You seem like an outgoing guy. You seem like you have some friends and stuff.
Tao Hurwit, I think he's from Israel. He's a very good player.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, we were traveling together also with competition, you know.
Did you guys ever do any duos?
No, never. But we, you know, same competition all the time.
You know, let's talk about maybe some of the did you have struggles, you know, learning that late, starting that late, really starting to read music around 15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I struggled with reading music. I think I still do. Mm-hmm. Do you struggle with reading music, or did you eventually catch up?
I'm pretty good on reading
pretty
music.
Pretty good, but not, yeah, but yeah.
From the beginning, I mean, I learned how to.
Oh, you had trumpet.
Yeah, I mean, I literally like the one line of melodies. But when I saw the classic guitar, mm-hmm. the score is pretty different.
It's
you
a
have
mess.
The bass, it's mixing all the thing.
It's really, you know, and I think that's the thing, is having multiple voices on one staff.
Right.
Is really, I when I think about it, I think that's sort of that's mm-hmm. the issue.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because you're not able to just, you know, read something.
Right.
Horizontally, mm-hmm. you know, you it's all like kind of vertical chunks, and you kind of like got to decipher them and then move on to the next one, and then they just, but those people just like do this. It's like reading a book.
Yeah. From the beginning, I learned a lot to start reading the thing, and also most of the piece that I playing, I know the piece before. I heard the piece before, so when I see the score, it's pretty fast, you know, because you know how the style will be.
Yeah. Exactly. And then so, you know, and then moving to Salzburg at that point, what, I mean, you've got to be what, then 18 or 21 or?
Yeah, it should be 21.
21. And then you finish it up. So you do the master's with
the Tamayo.
Tamayo. Yes. And then, you know, what happens after that?
during that time, I was doing a lot of competition.
Right.
One thing that I'm very lucky in my life, I got a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
My sponsor named Thai Babe.
Mm-hmm.
Taipei was very big company for the beverage.
Yeah.
For the beer company, let's say. Yeah.
Right.
So they've been supporting me for 7 years.
They're a beer company?
Yeah, they're a beer very big beer company in Thailand.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I had no idea you were sponsored by a beer company.
Yeah, right.
Do you drink a lot of beer?
No, I don't.
No, you don't? Yeah. You drink it all?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes, but... Yeah. A classical guitar is sponsored by a beer company.
Right. And they support me for a competition. I mean, otherwise I cannot traveling like 7 times a year.
Right.
On that time, I was traveling for doing many competitions, at least maybe 30.
Right.
International. So I was traveling to Europe, to America, to Mexico, to Korea.
And when you did that, did you do? Did you ever do Tarega?
No, never. The Tarega, never. I almost do it, but after I won GFA, I decided no more competition.
I mean, GFA, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. You're done.
Yeah, I'm
done.
You
won. And you won last year, is that right?
Right, 2014.
So this is really exciting to have the GFA winner on his tour.
Yep.
And how was that experience, GFA, last year?
Well, it surprised me. I mean, this is really my first time to try the GFA, and I didn't expect that I'm going to...
You just thought, I'm going to give it a shot.
Right, just to try, I mean, mm-hmm. because I was playing a lot in many competitions before. Like a week before I won GFA, I was in Buffalo for Joanne Paletta, mm-hmm. the concerto competition.
Right.
And I took second prize on that competition.
Yep.
And the week later, I won GFA. So, I mean, I just want to try first time, but I won, so...
That's unbelievable.
Right.
And what was your program? What did you play?
At the final, I was playing the Brouwer.
Oh, really?
Rito de Ross Orisha. That piece not so famous.
I don't know that one.
Yeah.
No, wait, what is it called?
Rito de Ross Orisha.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty long, like 13-minute piece, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And also...
All continuous?
Not no, broken. There are two movements.
Two movements. Oh, two movements.
Right.
That guy's cool, man.
Yeah.
Two movements.
And also I play the Ponce Sonata 3, the mm-hmm. second and the third movement.
Right.
And also the Legnani, the Caprice, I think two Caprices from Legnani.
So, I mean, you know who the judges were?
I know by name, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone I didn't know, but yeah.
Yeah, some of them. And then you never, so it's just basically, Salzburg.
Yep.
And then GFA.
Yes, right.
And those are the two big movements.
Right.
And not much has happened before that, right? Any I mean, no, like, not really albums or anything?
Yeah, I record some King music, yeah. the King
so
music.
So the King yeah. music, yeah.
Right. An arrangement for a very famous player like Andrew York, yeah. William Canagizer,
right.
Frederick Hahn. So I had a very big project with
that my was sponsor. Frederick Hahn was my teacher.
Oh, really?
Yeah, uh-huh. yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Which one are you playing by him?
The arrangement of King music.
Oh, he arranged it?
Yeah, he arranged it, yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, so Freddie. Have you met him?
No, I never. We talked from email. I never met him.
Well, he should be coming to your concert.
Is he from here? From
yeah.
Really?
Well, he's upstate.
Uh-huh, okay.
But he teaches at Manus, where I went, which is on 14th Street.
Ah, okay.
You know how you took the L train?
Mm-hmm.
That train, you just get out there. Just uh-huh. right there.
Because I really like his music, the player that John Williams recorded for two guitar, I think.
Yeah, him and Tim Kaine
yeah,
or whatever.
And the music called Player.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, you... Pray, I think prayer.
Pray, yeah. Prayer. Prayer. Yeah. Yeah, I know that song. That's one of his
so
big ones.
That's so beautiful. It makes me cry.
Yeah.
I was listening and, okay, that guy would be the arranger for my music.
Oh, so you chose him.
I chose, yeah. I chose.
Based on that.
Yeah, based
and then
on
you
that.
Commissioned.
Yeah, I commissioned him also, yeah.
Oh, see, it's all coming around.
Right. Yeah. So the King of music from my version is pretty close to the prayer music. You know, you have some kind of... the
tonal.
Thing. Yeah, the tonal and also mm-hmm. have some... Some the style of the composition from Frederick Hahn.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, that's unbelievable. Yeah. So that's the guy.
Yeah, the guy. Yeah.
Who did it?
Yeah, and also Andrew York. Also, I love his work a lot. So that's why I contacted.
Did he do stuff too?
Yeah,
he did some of the King's music.
Yeah, and pretty close to the Sunburst, the music that he.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sunburst. Yeah.
Yeah, he mm-hmm. tuned the string also for my King music. So.
Oh, really?
I told him that I want that style, you know, that so he tries to find a way then how it's worked.
And so the way he did it was by open tuning.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so which one, I mean, not which one do you prefer, but...
I love all of them. I
you
mean,
like all of
yeah.
them. How many of them did you do?
15 songs.
And those were not 15?
15.
From different composers?
From King to King music.
Right, from the King's music.
Yeah.
Not from different composers, different arrangers.
I think we have almost four arrangers, yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's an amazing project.
Yeah.
Was that like a college project?
No, it's from...
You?
Yeah, with my sponsor.
From the beer?
From the beer, yeah.
The beer company's like, you know what, let's do the King's music.
Right. Oh. So I showed the arranger. So they sponsor me everything.
No, that's... I mean, that's, and so is that your number one sponsor? Is that the guy... Is that
right.
kind of how you make your money is the beer?
Right, right.
And what's the name of the beer?
Chang beer.
Chang.
Chang, like elephants.
It has elephants?
Elephant. You have the big elephant.
Okay, but is it the one with the... No, that's called Delirium. I'm thinking of a different beer.
Right. I think they sponsored the big football team in Premier League England, the Everton, the team, the football, the soccer player.
Which team?
Everton.
Everton?
Yeah, Everton. Yeah.
I don't know that stuff.
Really?
I don't know soccer.
Okay, from England. It's pretty...
Or football.
Yeah, for the football play.
I bet you it's huge. No, I only know baseball.
Okay.
And football. And some basketball.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't. The football, I can't get into it. And everybody's going to be mad at me, but I really? Can't get into it. I don't know. It just seems like it's just anything going back and forth. So basketball, hockey, anything, tennis, anything doing this, I start to kind of like.
In Thailand, only tennis, basketball, and soccer.
That's nightmare. No, I have to have stop and go.
Really?
I have to be able to anticipate the next movement.
I don't get it. I mean, when I watch a game, though, the
cricket,
American...
Cricket I would get into. You guys got to have cricket out there.
No,
I would like that. I like big games that last a long time where there's lots of stop and goes and people eat on the field. Like, I like that kind of thing. Not you.
No. Yeah. For me, it had to be short and very... You know, just one game in 90 minutes at maximum.
Well, you're a GFA winner. You're about economy of movement.
I try to understand the game, but I don't get it, you know.
Oh, the baseball?
Yeah.
You tried?
I tried one.
Well, you don't live here, though. You have no reason to get into baseball, right?
When I was in last week in Quebec, in Canada, the guy bring me to the first game.
Toronto?
No, in Quebec.
Oh, Quebec.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was in the hockey game. My first time in life that I'm watching the hockey game.
And what'd you think? I like hockey.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Live hockey's cool.
Yeah.
Live hockey I like.
Yeah.
TV hockey, I can't see the thing. The thing's this big.
Oh, yeah, too small.
And everybody's too big.
Right.
So I can't see their faces.
But I like the violin that they're fighting each other. That's cool.
Violence is fun. But yeah, no, but I'm glad that you like violence. I like that. You've got that competitive nature. Do you watch a lot of Premier League soccer?
Yes.
You do?
A lot. Yeah, a lot. In Thailand, it's very popular.
This neighborhood is kind of hip, kind of cool. Mm-hmm. People watch soccer all over the place. I kind of get mad at them.
Really?
I'm like, what are you watching soccer? Come on, dude. It's a World Series. Turn that stuff off. World Series. My team, the Mets, they just lost.
Oh, yeah?
You know about that, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the New York, that's my team.
Uh-huh.
And they don't generally win that often.
Uh-huh. They're bad, yeah.
They're bad. Yeah. That's right. They're bad, huh? But you're good. You won. I mean, and that was your first time. So I don't know what happened last year. That was 2014?
Yeah, 2014.
I have no idea what happened. My buddy Giacomo was in it. Rupert Boyd, did he try it again? Was he in it?
No.
I have no idea who was in that. I didn't do any research. Dropped the ball on GFA this year.
Competitor?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. I think there were like 50 competitors from... Yeah. Many countries.
It's a lot.
Yeah, pretty a lot. And then I think almost the same player that I saw them in almost every big competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people make a business out of it.
Yeah, right.
Like you. You're
Well, I didn't make a lot of money, but I want to make my name, my career.
And no, I was just talking about, and you're doing it, and congratulations. I mean, seriously, it's unbelievable. That's the biggest competition.
Right. Yeah.
Do you feel like that coming from Europe, coming from Asia, that this was the biggest competition you've ever been in?
Yes, right. Absolutely, yes. I mean, that the price, the money is not that big.
No, it's not that big,
But the concert that you get after that, it just changed your life. I mean...
All of a sudden.
Yeah, right.
The adoration.
Right. Your career, you really start to be a real concert artist after you winning a GFA. But like the other big competition I was like in Italy, in Pietralugo. It's pretty also...
Peter Luger is what it's called?
Yeah, Pietralugo. Michel Pietralugo.
Pietralugo.
In Alexandria.
Yeah.
It's pretty... I think one of the most famous in Europe, the competition. I've been there a couple of times. Like I took all second prize, I think two times.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the prize not, you cannot compare with the GFA, I think.
Yeah, and as far as the touring with the GFA, I had somebody in here who won it, and he was, but he's sort of, his split with them. He's had issues with them. Mm-hmm. And he said that you really, you know, the money isn't good, but you do get to go on the tour.
Right.
But a lot of it, money is just basically allows you to take the tour. So a lot of it's just getting you your flights, getting you your hotel, getting your food. Afterwards, there's not that much left over.
Well, at the end, I can say that, I mean, it's pretty good for me.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe my year is pretty good. Yeah. At the end, I get some money, which is enough to buy a couple guitars.
Where did it, Where did it start? Where did your tour start?
My first concert in Oklahoma.
Okay.
Yeah, it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
This year in June.
So that's over. The tour's over.
Not yet. Next year.
But this isn't part. Your Carnegie Hall on Friday is not part of the tour.
Yeah, it's a part of the tour. It's a prize from GFA that associated with that Dario Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the one one part of the tour.
And then when is the tour over?
I think the end, almost the end of April next year.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. You're not tired?
Not yet.
Now, she's not doing the whole thing with
you.
No.
It's only...
Okay, just New York.
Yeah, just New York.
She just wanted to see it.
Yeah.
And which she kind of likes.
Yeah,
she
kind
of likes. That was my mom. My mom came last week, mm-hmm. and she's come a couple of times, but this last time she was like, I think I'm done. Because it's just hard, like the traveling and...
Right,
especially you guys went to Brooklyn.
Yeah, right.
Which, that had to be something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I use my phone to, you know,
yeah.
how to get there. It's pretty, challenging.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
Oh, challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's really my first time to do a subway alone in New York. So I have to ask many people how to get here, you know.
Well, where is your hotel?
In the downtown, just in front of the Carnegie Hall.
Okay.
Center Park, you know.
Yeah, yeah, right. So, well, that would have been, I should have just come to you. I feel bad.
That's why, yeah.
You're very sweet learn. For coming. Yeah, it did make you learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I know how to do the subway thing, you know, it's
right.
good for me.
You do. Yeah. One stop in, at least it's one stop into Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not right. like deep, you know, yeah. otherwise. Because I moved here, I used to live in the Upper East Side.
Mm-hmm. Where?
Mm-hmm. 89th and 2nd.
Okay.
So not that far from Carnegie, you know, 40 blocks, uh-huh. but nothing like this. And I just felt like that was better for the guests because it was near Central Park.
Yeah,
it was near like the Guggenheim and the Met Museum.
Right,
and they just felt, I think, a little more comfortable. It was here people kind of come in going like, But anyway, so as far as the tour is concerned, what was your favorite city? I'm sorry I'm saying favorite questions so much. I don't know. I'm just not on my game today.
it depends. Everywhere I was playing, they have some kind of unique thing that you cannot compare with the other city.
Yeah. You
know? Like in Quebec, in Canada, it's also such a beautiful place for the tourists.
Right.
You have such a like European style mixing with the big city.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. But some, like I would say, maybe I would prefer to play in the church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in a church.
I feel more, the guitar more sound perfectly with the shirt, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I was playing in a big hall, but the sound really not good. I have to use some microphone on
I agree.
So, yeah. Not that great.
Yeah, I've found that. I just kind of made that the other day. I was like, you know, really it's either church or small rooms
for
us.
Right.
I don't think the halls are really... We you know, the New York Classical Guitar Society always has its concerts, or did, in this place called the Baruch College. And it was just too big.
Right.
You know, and they can do all the fancy acoustic shapes and stuff that they think are working, but I don't think they really work for us. I think that's more for like quartet, and even they sound a little quiet too.
Right.
So, you really liked that. You really liked Canada. It seems like Canada's your
thing. A lot of fun because I saw my first time hockey game, so I feel more fun.
Right.
Yeah. And but I mean, the other city also is pretty good. Like I was in Miami.
Oh, you liked Miami?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cold weather, very similar to Thailand. You have a feeling of very warm and humidity. You know?
Right.
I feel very like home when I was in Miami.
Right.
Yeah.
Like beachy.
Yeah, beachy. Yeah.
And that's where is that where your province was? Was on the beach?
No, not on the beach. But I mean, the sun.
I don't even know. Yeah, the sun.
Yeah.
The warmth.
Yeah, the warmth. Yeah.
The humidity.
Yeah, right.
Did you go to the beach there?
No, I don't have time. I still feel very enjoying there.
Now, we're kind of coming to the end here. Is there anything that you, as far as like, when you, do you do any teaching? Or just very little? Right now, this year, probably not at all.
Very little, because I really have no time.
Like you don't have a post.
No, but every time I go, I give the master class also during my tour,
What do you do in a master class?
Well, I give everything that I have for a student.
Mm-hmm.
I try to get everything on the point. Then, if the student needs something, I really have to go straight to that point, in
to
1 hour.
Point.
Yeah, in, I think, 45 minutes because I have all of that time.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you're able to, you think like you have to go straight to the point, you don't get to focus on. So, you find one little.
Right. Yeah. I think I'm pretty good on that point because I learned a lot from my teacher.
Right.
That the way he's teaching, because he know that he have only 1 hour with this student.
And then he had to go on his
tours. Yeah, right.
Because you got a real teacher.
What can you do with that, I will try to not talking for the fancy thing, like you're talking something above the air, like the musical thing. Mm-hmm. I try to concern to only the basic thing first. Mm-hmm. Like I always talk to my student that first to be, you have a very good technique first.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think about the fancy musical thing.
Okay.
Because how can you play the music without good technique.
So technique is like number one. The first thing you do is check
the
out
sound, technique. The technique, the principal thing, the fingering thing have to be clear, have to be correct. And then you're talking about music.
Interesting. Right. Okay, that's because that's cool. Because as you know, I've talked to a lot of people in here that, you know, have sort of been like, you know what, just relax and play the music. And I have hand problems that haven't gone away. But the technique issue is something that's the way that I think I more or less approached it that way. I would start out every day with technical practice. Make sure all of those things are there first.
Yeah. And after that, you can make the music from your technique. I mean,
Let's face it, because that's how it feels. It feels better when your hands are where they need to be.
Right. You know,
that's like step one.
Right. Step one, yeah, because I saw a lot of students that playing the masterclass with me. And then
if you're going to be competitive.
Yeah.
You know, you can still like write, play, you know, be composer. But I think if you're going to, if you're thinking about being a competitive guitarist, technique, then music.
Yeah.
Right.
I think not only the guitar, I think in every instrument like the violin, I mean, you have to be in tune first, right? How can you play the technique without tuning correct? And the sound, the quality are almost the same, you know?
Yeah.
So I think the principal thing that, because sometimes, like I have many teachers that sometimes they're just talking all the music thing and then they were talking about the nail and the sound quality at all. I mean, so that's pretty bad. How can you play romantic music if you have very bright and then very bad sound? I mean, it doesn't bring the feeling of romantic music or
if you've got bad nails, this and that.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the first step.
Right.
That's interesting. Is there anything else that you want to talk about, you know, as far before we before we take off?
I don't know.
where now, unfortunately, this isn't coming out until next week. But so where are you going to be next week?
I think
what do you got coming up the next couple of weeks here?
I'm playing Carnegie on Friday, and on Saturday I was playing in Hartford.
Hartford, the Hart School?
Yeah.
Sure.
And after I'm going to play in Texas, Austin.
That's where I went to school? There you go.
Yeah, it's pretty big hall there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And after that, I go to Indonesia. So pretty far. So after that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So it's just like you're out of here.
Yeah. So it's not a part of the GFA. It's my private
concert. When you know the date for the Texas show?
I think 13 and 14.
13 and 14.
November, yeah.
I think like Wednesday.
Yeah, 13 would be the masterclass. 14 would be the concert. Huh. And Friday, on 15, I got the flight to Indonesia.
Huh.
And then I have my Asia tour.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you're set.
Yeah.
You're loving it. You're loving traveling.
Yeah, I enjoy traveling.
Is she going to go to Texas?
No, I don't think. I think she will move back to Thailand maybe.
Austin's cool. You maybe take her to Austin. Maybe take her to Austin. But I guess you got to save some money too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of money.
Well, Ekashai, thank you so much for coming in. I said your name right there, right?
Ekashai, yeah,
Ekashai. All right. Thank you so much for coming all the way to Brooklyn.
It's very far.
It's very
20 minutes by train.
All right, man. And good luck with your show on Friday.
Thank you.
Okay, I will be there cheering you on.
All right. Thank you for having me here.
All right. No problem. All right, guys. Time for me to pronounce some stuff. All right, here we go. This is Ekashai playing a piece by who else but the King of Thailand. That's Bhumibol Adulyadej. And that's the best I can pronounce that right now. Go ahead and look him up. He's 87 years old. He says he was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So he's just like a townie. He's just a Boston guy. He's wicked. Super duper. I don't even know if I probably shouldn't be making fun of a king. Anyway, I'll see you guys next time. I really wish that a beer company would sponsor the show. I should approach beer companies. Why not? Anyway, I'll see you guys next time with Yuri Liberzon. All right. He is a Russian-Israeli guitarist who studied in the United States under Ben Verdery and Manuel Barueco. And then we had an interesting conversation as well. I'll see you in a couple weeks with that. Anyway, enjoy this piece. This is the King's piece from the Laureate Series album of Ekashai's. It's the last piece on the album, Magic Beans, as arranged by who else but Billy Cannon Geyser. All right, I'll let you guys enjoy it, and I'll see you next time.